You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. I think you're going to find this evening interesting, to say the least, as many did last night's broadcast. And we're going to start off in a way that most people don't start off anymore. For those of you listening around the world, this is just about the very best rendition of the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, that I've heard in an awful long time. So those of you listening in the United States, please stand and join me. And those of you listening outside of the United States, around the world, please listen carefully. It might tell you a little something about the original nature of the American animal. Magnificent. Just magnificent. See if you can do that. I couldn't do it in a million years. I love that song. Did you know that there are people in Congress who would like to do away with the Star-Spangled Banner and replace it with something not quite, quote, so militant, end quote? I don't think that they'll succeed in doing that. But we'll see. Now, the reason I played that at the beginning of tonight's broadcast is I think there will come a day not too far in the future when the playing of that song may be against the law. And many of us may never, ever hear it again. If those who wish to bring about their one world utopian socialist government have their way. And they may have their way. Listen very carefully to what I am going to tell you tonight. The world economy is not getting better, ladies and gentlemen. It is becoming much worse. Everyone in the world is aware of this, except for the ignorant citizens of the United States of America. People listening to this broadcast around the world already know most of what I am going to tell you tonight that you haven't even got the slightest idea is happening. A worldwide economic collapse is worsening. Hong Kong just registered its worst ever decline in growth, admitting a state of widening recession. In fact, it was the first decline in growth in Hong Kong's entire history. They are in recession. Japan has recently admitted a severe recession. Many financial institutions and banks in Japan have failed. Indonesia has declared a full-blown recession with rioting everywhere. That government may come down. Russia is in total, listen to me carefully, total economic collapse with banks closing each and every single day. Not one bank or two banks, but banks. The government is weak and vacillating. They have no plan. The people are calling for a return to communism. The military is in a near state of rebellion due to no pay for well over 1 year. And discarded rubles literally are blowing in the wind through the streets. Around the world, ladies and gentlemen, the news is very, very discouraging. The United States has just admitted a decline in the rate of growth, with experts predicting recession in 1999. You have to look hard to find it, but it's there. Housing starts in the United States are down 9% and falling. The United States trade deficit is in the worst in its history and getting bigger every day. The entire world, ladies and gentlemen, is on the brink of the worst economic disaster in history with absolutely no relief in sight. That's the reason that President Clinton recently made his trip to Asia and other countries. In May of 1997, I predicted on this broadcast that the Dow Jones Industrial Average would fall over 500 points on the New York Stock Exchange on October 24, 1997. I further predicted that it would herald the beginning of a worldwide economic collapse, which would hit Hong Kong and most other Asian nations hardest, spreading to Japan, and then to third world nations worldwide. I predicted it would take a year to begin its worst effects in Europe and the United States, and every single one of those predictions became real on schedule, exactly as I had predicted, exactly on the dates that I predicted them. At the end of July in 1998, I predicted the Dow Jones Industrial Average, then at 9,370 points, would crash, falling 2,500 points on the New York Stock Exchange on or before October the 25th, 1998, and I posted that prediction to our website. Many of you saw it. I further predicted that it would not then end, but would seem to recover, then fall again, continually fluctuating, but falling, with a year or two until it stabilizes around 2,500 to 3,000 points sometime in that latter part of the year 2000 or 2001. Could actually happen within 1999, but I like to be a little conservative. Within 1.5 months of that prediction, the middle of September, to be exact, the Dow had crashed, falling 1,900 points. That's 1,900 points. It then began a very slow and turbulent up and down climb, gaining or losing as much as 200 or 300 points each day. Up until it eventually regained its end of July position just over 9,300 points late in November, just a few days ago, seeming to recover, but it did not actually reach its July high. Now the Dow is once again beginning to fall. I erred, ladies and gentlemen, in my prediction only that the Dow fell 1,900 points, that's 1,900 points, instead of my predicted 2,500 points. Nevertheless, those who listened to me lost nothing. Most of them are much richer than they ever were in their lives. And I remain the most accurate predictor of major future events in history, not just in the United States, but in history of the world. Now listen to me carefully. The Dow will fluctuate up and down in a slow, steady, continuous fall. And then it will seem like it's going to recover, exactly as I have predicted. But this time the fall will continue, ladies and gentlemen, because not even the all-powerful press will be able to hide the continually worsening effects of the global collapse upon the United States of America. And sometime in the latter part of 1999, the American sheeple and sheeple all over the world, not just here, but all over the world, in panic, in full-blown panic over the hoax known as Y2K, will begin to withdraw all cash from banks, forcing a revelation that the cash does not and never did exist. The effects of the Y2K propaganda will be devastating. The devastation will actually be brought about by stupidity resulting in panic, not by any real Y2K catastrophe. And can you imagine what will happen when the bank teller has to tell the customer there is no cash to give him? The Federal Reserve, if you doubt what I'm telling you, listen to me carefully, and you can confirm it. It was on the front page of most of the newspapers across the country not so long ago. The Federal Reserve is so afraid of the Y2K panic, not the Y2K problem, but the Y2K panic, that they have already printed $50 billion in cash. That's $50 billion in cash, which is earmarked to rescue banks in the later months of 1999. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it is only a token gesture, as $50 billion will not even remotely be enough if the panic consumes the population of this country and of many other countries around the world. The Fed could not print money fast enough to satisfy such a demand. And you, each and every one of you, stop and think for just one moment exactly what a flood of cash into the economy will do to the value of the dollar, to the tune of 50 billion new Federal Reserve notes. I'll give you a little hint. It's called rampant inflation. And rampant inflation will be as bad or worse than the collapse it is supposed to cure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that my prediction of a fall of the Dow of 2,500 points stopped short at 1,900 points, a terrible catastrophe in and of itself, and absolutely a crash, is the failure of the press in the United States to report the facts of the economic status of the rest of the world truthfully and accurately. The American press instead presented a very inaccurate and rosy picture of unlimited growth, unprecedented employment, and an economy that cannot fail. All, every single word of it, lies. If the American press had told the truth, the Dow most probably would have sank lower than my predicted 2,500 points, and even though it may have made some kind of a show toward a minor recovery, would never have sought or even reached 9,000 ever again. Because the truth about the economic situation of the rest of the world is more than disturbing, it's catastrophic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have never wished to be right when I have made predictions of impending catastrophe, and this prediction was no different. I do not wish ill upon anyone. At times, in fact, I delay and procrastinate making predictions which I know will come true because I do not wish to be the herald of doom. But eventually, I always find that I must, only because no one else has the guts to step forth to sound the alarm, or they're afraid to do so. I stave off the realization that I have been right once again, whenever events prove it to be so. I don't like it. But the truth of the worldwide economic situation, ladies and gentlemen, is devastating. Sooner or later, the American investor will have to learn the hard way. And any Las Vegas croupier will tell you that the hard way is most usually a very, very bad bet. American corporations are beginning to really feel the effects of the crises and will now begin to cut back on production. Listen to me carefully. I'm telling you what's going to happen. American corporations are beginning to really feel the effects of the crises and will now begin to cut back on production, increasing personnel reduction and the layoff of workers. Construction companies which specialize in new homes are already feeling the squeeze, and housing starts are now off somewhere around 9%. And construction workers are beginning to look for other jobs. Wall Street investment houses will not tell their customers what is coming, but they know. This you have seen on the news. All of the major investment brokerages in New York and elsewhere have begun the reductions in personnel that only come in terrible bear markets. And for those of you not conversant in Wall Streetese, a bear market means the stock market is going to fall, and they know it. They know it. American companies, corporations, and products that have survived the industrial flight into third world labor markets under NAFTA and GATT are now beginning to suffer the effects of a veritable flood of unbelievably cheap products from economically devastated Asian and third world nations. That is why our trade deficit is so high. There is nobody who can purchase our products, and they are flooding our economy with very, very inexpensive and cheap products, which even from those countries used to be much, much higher in price. Many of these nations have devalued their currency again and again and yet again and yet again, with no relief in sight. A recession, ladies and gentlemen, is on the way. In fact, indeed, it has already begun. For those of you who seem to have some kind of brain deficit or learning deficiency, let me tell you one more time, and you had better listen to me very carefully. The entire world is experiencing an economic crash of unprecedented proportions. You are being lied to on the communist news networks. The entire world is experiencing an economic crash of unprecedented proportions. The United States, ladies and gentlemen, will not escape without major damage. And listen to me carefully, I mean major damage. Most of the companies and corporations traded on the New York Stock Exchange and other markets do not have earnings or intrinsic worth that even begins, ladies and gentlemen, to approach one-fifth of what the price of their stock is attempting to reflect. This worldwide crash has been very carefully engineered. It is no accident. I predicted it long, long ago. And just in case you missed it, so have many others. The purpose is to cement the economic structure of world government by eliminating the International Monetary Fund, replacing it with a world Federal Reserve banking system, headed by a board of directors who will oversee and control the entire economy of the world. Most of you have been reading bits and pieces of this in the newspapers, but you don't know how to put the pieces of the puzzle together and see what I can see clearly. It is no secret they are not withholding any of this from any of us, except the actual condition of the crises in the rest of the world is not being presented accurately or truthfully to the American people by the American press. It is being intentionally concealed in order that they may make it happen, that they may, as we used to say in the Navy, make it so. They're putting together the world government economy first. Those of you running around in the woods looking for United Nations troops are fools. They don't need them yet. The invasion is coming through your pocketbook, up into your mind. Y2K is a tool of this invasion. They're cementing the economic structure of the world government. They will eliminate the International Monetary Fund, and they will replace it with a world Federal Reserve banking system headed by a board of directors who will oversee and control the entire economy of the world. When that happens, world government is a done deal. With no shot fired, with no invasions having taken place, and for those who happen to understand what is happening or what has happened once it has happened, and attempt to overturn it, that is when you will see United Nations troops. But only if the military forces or the government federal police force, which they are cementing all across this country and in all the countries of the world, cannot handle an attempted restoration by patriots of constitutional Republican government. A most terrible economic disaster, worse than any other in the history of the world, is about to occur right here in the United States of America. It is already occurring in the rest of the world. It will further the goals of the Socialist Communist International and bring about the Illuminati's dream of a world utopian totalitarian government. It will. There is no organized body that has the capability at this time to do one iota about it. And even if they did, they wouldn't have the guts to do what is necessary. Listen to this very carefully. Quote, especially all you Art Bell fans, listen to me carefully. Your guru will soon become your jailer. Quote, will there be a global government with a benevolent dictator, overseeing global law, global police, and a global judiciary in an attempt to make the world cleaner, peaceful, and prosperous? If that's what it takes to achieve these ends, so be it. End quote. From The Quickening by Art Bell, page 309. I urge everyone listening to this broadcast, regardless of which country you reside within, to prepare for the worst, praying all the while that I am wrong. I pray that I am wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But everything that I see and hear, the facts that I have at my disposal, all of the figures tell me that I am right. And even if I turn out to be wrong, preparation will not hurt you. Not one little bit. So please, prepare and pray. a magnificent and most precious gift from God, that voice coming from a 15-year-old girl. Can you believe it? That's just incredible. Her name is Leanne Rimes. In case you're interested in picking up some of her music, I recommend it. I don't have any interest in the recording company or her, for those of you who are going to write me letters and tell me that I'm somehow getting paid for that. I'm not. You know, most of you, how much I love good music. Well, she's some of the best that you're going to find. Seek it out. Listen to it. I was watching the impeachment hearings of the Judiciary Committee today, ladies and gentlemen, and I heard some things that were astounding, not really to me, but they will be to most of you, because I know how far things have gone over the edge. I heard a federal judge of a federal appeals court in the Sixth Circuit, what he called the Sixth District, say that because President Clinton had been elected by a plurality, whatever the hell that means, he should not be impeached. I also heard the same judge say later that because President Clinton had appointed black citizens to the bench of the Sixth District Court, that he should not be impeached. Makes no difference what crimes he may or may not be guilty of. I heard one congressman talking about the fact that real Americans understand the Constitution. Real Americans understand the definition of impeachment and what a president should or should not be impeached for. Real Americans understood that a lie is a lie. Real Americans understood that perjury is perjury. It is a felony, not a misdemeanor, not something that exists in shades or degrees of seriousness or non-seriousness. I'm not going to go on. And then I heard Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard Law professor, or the Harvard Law Saboteur is really what it is, call that congressman a racist, stating that the term real American was a code word for racism. Watching those hearings is enough to make anyone sick. It's as if it's as if we're living in a Warner Brothers cartoon on some cartoon channel somewhere. It's sick, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching the absolute decline, destruction, and elimination of a society, of traditions, of the law. We're watching the complete and total subversion of all that we have held dear in this country throughout its history. And we are watching it as if none of us has the slightest clue as to what is going on, much less, heaven forbid, that there be any indication that anybody gives a damn. I don't see that, except among the few of us who have been, I guess, in a way, crying in the wilderness for a long, long time. This is really very sad, ladies and gentlemen. I have temptations to break out in exuberant laughter when I see what's happening on C-SPAN in Congress. And I would if I didn't understand exactly how really tragic it all really is. It's not funny. In fact, it is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. These socialists are trying to build William Jefferson Clinton into a dictator above the law, not subject to the law. And I can tell you, if that happens, if they get away with it, that's exactly what he will become. And there won't be any elections in the year 2000. There will be a declaration of martial law based upon the collapse of the economy, which many fools out there trumped up into a complete state of hysteria and panic by the Y2K doomsayers will bring about. All the while believing that they are loyal Americans just looking out after their own interests. But that will not be the case, I can assure you. You will participate in your own downfall. You will. You cannot imagine how angry people become with me simply because I tell them the truth about Y2K and tell them what the real danger is. And these are people who call themselves patriots. They're not. I think that most so-called patriots are just little children quickly skipping from adrenaline rush to adrenaline rush because they're addicted to it. And maybe for no other reason. It gives them something in their life that is lacking, excitement maybe. It's really very pathetic, unfortunately. Very, very pathetic. We're going to open the phones now, folks. 520-333-4578. And while we're waiting for that to happen, let's hear again. Let's hear Leanne Rimes' rendition of Who and What is Bringing This About. You know, the rose, one solitary rosebud just beginning to open, is the international symbol for the Socialist Internationale. It is also the symbol in the mysteries for the secret destiny of America. It is what was handed out to all of the mourners who attended the memorial ceremony for the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. William Jefferson Clinton has been photographed on many occasions holding one solitary red rose, and so has Hillary Clinton. You know, if I were you, I would pay a little bit of attention to these things. 520-333-4578 is the number. We'll be taking your calls right after this.
Something love, it is a razor.
there you have it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Virginia over here in Texas.
All right.
I wanted to thank Pooh for her Thanksgiving program. That was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, I was just so proud. I was bursting. And for all of those of you who may have thought I was in here with her, I wasn't anywhere near this studio. She and Allison did it all by themselves. I think Doyle was sort of lurking around in case they got into trouble. But as far as I know, they didn't. I was in the house listening to the radio with Annie, enjoying it, which was her intention in the first place.
But she did an excellent job, and I thought that was delightful. I'd like to ask briefly, I heard you, I think, say something through the, I have a hard time hearing you on the programming and everything over it.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about the height shade, basically. I would put it like, say, maybe a crock.
I've said it many times over this broadcast. It's a hoax.
Oh, okay.
It's a complete hoax. There is a Y2K problem. It's solvable. It's not mysterious. The whole world is not going to come to a halt. Most of the computers have already been reprogrammed and fixed and are working properly. The ones that are still in a state of being updated will probably make it on time. And for the ones that don't, they're not going to cause the whole world to stop or the sky to come falling down. What will happen is they will all of a sudden realize that they should have taken care of it a long time ago, and it'll be fixed in 5 hours, I guarantee.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And for all of those of you who have been hearing from the Y2K doomsayers that the 555 chip is a clock chip and can't be fixed, they are liars. For all of those of you who have been saying it, I am calling you a liar to your face on the air. That chip is not a clock chip, does not have a clock function. All it does is the same thing that a metronome does on a piano. It provides a steady beat. That's all it does. Has no clock function, does not recognize the change of days or months or years or hours, period. You are liars. Simple as that. Now, all of you listen to me. I wouldn't say this if it were not true. It's not an easy thing to do, to call somebody a liar. It's not something that I like doing. But these people are drumming up hysteria and panic. The 555 computer chip is not a clock function, has no clock function, does not recognize hours, minutes, days, months, years, or anything. All it does is this. Until it dies. That's all it does, until it dies. Provide a steady beat. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody who's been telling you that this is a clock function chip that can't be replaced or fixed is a liar. Clear, plain, and simple, they are liars. Okay? 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a short list of things that people might want to do to, let's say, prepare for maybe the chaos that's going to come out of this hysteria regarding the financial collapse in Y2K?
Well, I'll tell you what, if people keep drumming up the hysteria over the Y2K, a financial collapse is absolutely certain, because guess what all these people are going to do? What would you do?
Well, I'm already wondering what I should do. I'm thinking of having my house paid off. Paying off my house so I don't have any debt.
If the bank's computer system was going to come to a halt, why would you pay off your house?
Well, I'd hate to be in a situation where somebody wants to kick me out of my house and the banks will repossess all this debt laden property. I see people up to their earballs in debt all around me, Bill.
Ah, but you're not putting it all together. If their computers won't work, how do they know who's up to their ears in debt and who's behind in payments?
So what do we do to protect whatever assets that we have if this collapse comes about? What should we do?
Well, it's a little late for that. I mean, we've been telling you what to do for many years, and now all of a sudden you believe there's going to be a Y2K problem. Everybody wants to know what to do. You do what is common sense to do. You protect yourselves. For instance, we only have bank accounts simply because sometimes we have to cash checks. And you'll notice that last year we stopped accepting checks. We only accept blank money orders or cash, or gold or silver coin, and that's all we'll ever accept. There is not more than a couple of $100 in any of our bank accounts. Never will be.
Well, let's say that we do have assets that we could have in a bank or a money market fund or whatnot. Are these things going to be safe in this?
They're never safe in paper. Paper is nothing. Paper is exactly what you see. Let me give you an example. Do you have a wallet?
Yes.
What denomination bills do you have in your wallet right now?
There's probably a 20, a 10, maybe a couple of fives, singles, a little bit of everything in there.
Pull out a 20 and a 1 and lay them out in front of you. This is really, all of you listening in the audience can do this. Pull out a $20 bill and a $1 bill if you have them. If you don't, pull out a 5 and a 1. Doesn't matter.
I don't have my wallet in front of me right now.
Okay, but conceptualize it. Pretend, look at your table wherever you're sitting and pretend there's a $20 bill and a $1 bill lying there. Please tell me the difference between the two.
Oh, there's $19 difference.
Where? Show me the $19. Isn't it true that there's two pieces of paper there?
Yeah.
One has a number 20 on it, and the other one has a number 1 on it. Other than that, the two pieces of paper are exactly the same.
Right.
Are they supported by anything?
Yeah, you got a point there. You got a point there. Well, are you saying that?
I absolutely have a point there. They're worthless. They are absolutely worthless. The value is in your mind. They have taken and destroyed our real money. They have taken the backing from our currency, and now it's no longer currency because currency must have something of intrinsic value for which it is exchanged and backed by. Okay? It's not money because money has to have intrinsic value of its own. It's not a note like it says because it is not redeemable for anything.
Okay, so our assets, where should we have our assets if there's going to be this big collapse in the Y2K problem? Well, imagine they're not. Do you believe there is going to be chaos in the banking system?
Yes, I do.
So we don't want our money in the banks.
I've never wanted my money in the bank. The only reason I've ever even had a bank account is to cash checks that people give me. I've always recommended real money. Gold and silver coin are real money. Have always been recognized as real money throughout the history of the world. And today, 1 ounce of gold will buy exactly the same number of loaves of bread that it would in 1000 AD or in 1000 BC.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Mr. Cooper, that there's big changes ahead. And it just seems like all the pieces are going to fall in place. And I think a lot of people in America are lemmings. They're just not seeing what could be laying out there in the future.
Here's what the Illuminati have to say about that, the people who are pulling the strings. A nation of world or people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who have no intelligence. Such people are stakes on the table and beasts of burden by choice and consent.
You know, Bill, in a financial collapse, I am concerned about the American people that are really in all this debt because I don't know how they're going to pay the debt off.
They got themselves into debt. That's why most of the, all of these small farmers that lost their family farm, they blame the government for that, but the truth is the blame lies with them. They got greedy. The government went out and said, hey, we're going to give you all this money. Of course, you have to put your farm up for collateral. And they all knew, and still know, that every once in a while they have a bad year. That happens with farms. No matter how much money you have, or how much you invest, or how much you fertilize, or what, you have a bad year from time to time.
Yeah, there's a lot of good parables in the Bible about staying out of debt and keeping yourself...
See, they had a good
slave.
They had a good $2,000 Ford tractor that worked. They still work today. Made back in the 20s and 30s, these tractors are still working today. They're probably the best tractors ever made in the United States of America. But they just had to have a $100,000 John Deere.
And Bill, we have all these banks merging all over the world. There's probably only going to be a handful of banks coming out of this. And they're going to have to hold the notes on all these properties all over the world with people that are up to their earballs in debt. And in a collapse, the banks aren't going to own all this property.
I've always said that. The New World Order economy will be a cashless system where people are shackled to computers in a never-ending system of debt.
Well, it certainly looks like we're headed in that direction.
You better believe it.
Okay, Bill. Nice talking to you. And, let's hope that all of your listeners here can somehow get their houses in order before all this happens.
I hope they do, too. But, you know, I've been trying to warn them about this and tell them what to do for years. And of course, nobody was interested in that. But now, all of a sudden, a lot of people are. And it might be too late.
Well, things are looking shaky around the world with the economies. And I just think the American people have got their heads in the sand if they don't think that there's got to be ramifications eventually.
Yep, there sure will. Look at what happened in the Soviet Union after the Bolshevik Revolution and the communists came to power. Socialism, that is. It wasn't called communism until much later, but the socialists came to power under Lenin. Take that as an example of what might happen in this country.
Right. And the old order out of chaos certainly seems like... Boy, those that believe in that slogan, order from chaos, are going to have a field day with this Y2K in the year 2000, millennium madness and whatnot. And, couple that with financial collapse, boy, they're just going to bring all the change they've ever wanted to the world.
Well, they're already having a change. They're already having a field day. For instance, they're already planning to recap the pyramid of Cheops in Egypt with a cap of gold. And they're planning the millennium ceremony. And guess what? The United States Army has already designated and handed out orders to troops who will be moved over there to guard the perimeter so the Illuminati can have their great capping of the pyramid ceremony, which signifies symbolically the completion of the great work, the bringing into fruition of the socialist utopian world for which they have worked so diligently for thousands of years.
Yeah, and now if we even do have an election in the year 2000, we're going to probably get to choose between Mr. Green Jeans Al Gore or one of George Bush's sons. So that's no choice at all. We're getting the New World Order any way you look at it.
That's right. It won't matter who's elected. They'll be ruled and manipulated by a council of so-called wise men who are really ruling in the background. That's what's happening right now.
But I find almost hilarious is we got this wrestler now who belongs to this New World Order wrestling team, Hulk Hogan. He's saying he's going to run for president. Oh, so we're going to have about three New World Order.
That's a publicity thing. It'll get a lot of fans into his wrestling matches, and he'll make lots of money.
Yeah. All right, Bill. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. We're having some good conversation tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
I can barely hear you. Are you on some kind of Rome phone or something? Well, you need to put it right in front of your mouth and scream then.
All right, I just have one quick question.
Okay.
In a month, the Eurodollar is going to become a reality. I just want to know what kind of effect that is going to have on the U.S. dollar and our economy.
Well, you know, if the Eurodollar becomes a reality, in fact, it could have a real bad effect upon the dollar. Especially if people place more faith in a united Europe than they do in a united states of confusion and the moral ruin.
Is it true that it's going to be partially backed by gold?
That I don't know. We'll have to see. I've heard all kinds of stories and tales, and I've read their official pronouncements, but we won't know until it actually is issued and they have to tell the people what makes it worth what. If it is, then it means the end of the dollar.
I understand.
Because the dollar is backed by nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, thank
you. It's not even worth the ink that's printed upon its face. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Yeah, that little test of putting the 1 next to the 20 is a good one, folks. That'll wake you up real quick. It'll show you that the value of the Federal Reserve note is in your mind and nowhere else. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
I have a quick quote. It's from Rothschild, one of the first...
one of the first bankers.
One of the first bankers, and of course his sons that took over Europe, basically, around the time of Napoleon. But money supply and making the money, I don't care who it is that makes their laws or governs their country.
Yeah.
And I thought that was rather interesting. Now, I know you're no financial advisor, and it's not that I'm leaving this over to the 2YK, but for instance, and this might be too technical to ask you, but say if you have a 401k and now you say, you know, there's going to be a collapse because of what's going on, I want to take my money out of the 401k. Well, you know, as soon as you take that out of your 401k, the government, I think, collects about a third of it, a real stiff penalty. Is this something you just have to bite the bullet, or are there other ways you can get around stuff?
I wouldn't bite the bullet. I would go in and prove to my employer within the law where he has no right to withhold any of my money or give it to anyone, and if he did, I would sue him.
When you cash a 401k, I think it's the government that...
The government? What government?
The government.
Which government?
The United States government.
The United States government has no authority to take one penny of any piece of silver that I might earn.
I'll tell you what, I cashed a 401k in order to continue a college education.
You don't understand the law. You're in the system. You file and pay income taxes, don't you?
So, okay. I see what you're saying. So you're saying that you just wouldn't pay it?
Absolutely not. I don't owe it. They can't prove to me that I owe it. I've spent years and years trying to get them to show me their authority to do it. And they can't, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, you must have that's good, but, you know, there are so many people I hear about when they try to go against the IRA, or IRS. It's like the IRA.
It's because they don't understand the law, nor do they apply it, nor are they willing to take the courage of their convictions as we are. Right now, the IRS has warrants issued for my arrest and the arrest of my wife.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you one bit.
But
we have the courage of our convictions. We've drawn the line in the sand.
So what do you do to keep them from being arrested?
We have proven to them within the law that they have no authority over us, that we are not liable to file or pay the federal income tax, that they have no authority or jurisdiction within the territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona, that they have no authority to come on our property and arrest us or harass us or do anything else, and that while we are not murderers or thieves or in rebellion or revolutionaries or anything else, if they come and try it, we will defend ourselves with every means at our disposal, including firearms if necessary. And we will not submit to their tyranny, not now, not tomorrow, not next month, not ever.
Go back to that other program you had where you had FM that broadcast within the state, and where you showed that by using a specific law that the FCC has no jurisdiction within a state. That
they have no more jurisdiction than is what is granted to them in the Constitution for the United States of America. Most Americans have never read that document. They have no idea what world they're living in. They do not understand or apply the law, and they allow themselves to be ruled by despots willingly and voluntarily, and they pay tribute every year on April the 15th to their masters.
And I was going to say, other people that were in your situation, they used the First Amendment and lost, so I think, in other words, you have to know which law to use.
Absolutely. You have to know and understand the law.
That's the point, yes. I'll have to get my wife to go to law school, I think.
You don't have to go to law school. That's the worst place to go. They do not teach these things in law school. In fact, the Constitution is not required reading in any law school in this country. Did you know that? I actually checked. I phoned them up and asked for a copy of their reading list. Guess what? Constitution is not on it.
My God, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
I mean, it makes sense when you see what's going on.
Yes, it does.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cooper.
And you're welcome.
I look forward to the rest of your show.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well, that's it, folks. Good night. And God bless each and every single one of you. And at least I think it's time to go. Good night, folks. See you tomorrow night.
Amazing. Like me. that grace appear. God's praise, then.